That was a film that I made. I'm going to put this on with a young person from Hinckley. It's how I do my evangelism. I take people who don't have a faith, but who are interested in drama, and give them a story from Scripture, and say, "Let's explore this together and see what we can make of it." And as they encounter Jesus in the drama, they encounter Jesus in real life. So that's why I do that, but it fits in with this morning as well. A lot of echo this morning. Okay, really nice to be with you again. It was Pentecost last time I was here, I noticed in my diary. So almost a year. This is a big day for me. It is my 37th birthday. I know I look old for 37, but it's actually 37 years to the day that I started working for Youth Christ, so 1st of May, so that's amazing. So it's really nice to be here on this day. I want to share, really, some thoughts that are coming out of that story that Trevor read for us. It's a long story, but it's a really significant story, and a little bit coming out of the film, which is a story of Thomas, and see if we can really bring it home to our hearts, because I think, and you're going to have to weigh this yourself, that at the heart of this story, there is a challenge and an encouragement that we need to take really seriously. Yep. I'm having deja vu. Is that on? Oh, that is on, yeah. I was at an event in Norwich yesterday and the tech was all over the place, so we gave up with the tech. I'm used to this. I don't know what you think about the beginning of that story. I think it's a really good picture of people without purpose. A little bit of an aimlessness about what's going on. It's as if Peter and the disciples are hanging around. And then they say, well, what should we do? Oh, well, all we can do is go back to what we've always done. Let's go fishing. In fact, if you look at the Greek, when Peter said, let's go fishing, there is an intonation in that suggests it's a, I don't know what to do, so let's do this, in that phrase. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, come on, Peter. The resurrection has happened. In fact, the reading says this is the third time Jesus has appeared. They've seen Jesus twice, and they're still meandering around, not knowing what to do with their lives, seemingly purposeless. And I thought, they're behaving as if there was no resurrection. It had never happened. And as I was thinking about that, I really felt a prompt from God. And you don't behave that way too? Are you living a life that reflects the fact that we worship a resurrected Jesus? And that was a real challenge for me. But the purposelessness is changed in this passage. Because it's a key passage, particularly for Peter. Because Jesus speaks to him and reminds him that now the resurrection has happened, there is a job to do. And Jesus lays it on the line. For Peter, it was to feed the lambs, to lead the church, to build the church. You don't know what happened after that, but we do know that Peter then eventually goes to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. You see, I think we will live in the light and life of the resurrection when we discover and hear from God about the purpose he is placing on our lives. And we need to grasp that purpose and live that purpose with all our strength. And my reflection on my own life from time to time and my own contact with people in my own church and so on, is sometimes we fail to grasp the very true fact that God has a purpose for each one of us.
Are we fulfilling the purpose God has laid upon our hearts? So that's a question I want to ask you this morning. Or are you like Peter and the disciples, just doing what you've always done? It's a really hard question, but I think it's a good question. So what might your purpose be? I think there are some clear indications in Scripture that all of us have a common purpose. And I think the primary purpose on your life and my life, the whole of the Christian church's life, is to be with Jesus. There's a wonderful verse in Exodus where God is talking to Moses and reminding him of what has happened. And he says to Moses, I called you out of Egypt, not to form a great nation. I called you out of Egypt to be with me. God was longing for relationship with his people. That's what he wanted before anything else. That's why they were liberated out of Egypt, so that the relationship could be restored. Interestingly, if you read Mark's account of the calling of the disciples, it's just a really interesting little comment from Mark. Jesus calls the disciples not so that they could be trained up to build the church. It says in Mark's gospel, and Jesus called the disciples so that they could be with him. He called people just to be in relationship with him. Your primary purpose, my primary purpose in life, is to enjoy relationship with Jesus. Is that in our hearts at this moment? Or is our primary thought, our purpose, all the busyness of church life? What is our focus? Since the last couple of months, I've been able to have our grandchildren coming to stay with us at our house, which my wife is delighted about. I'm slightly less delighted about, I have to say, because they're quite young. Well, some of them are quite young and very noisy and exhausting. How many times can you build a Lego village and have it destroyed? That's the question. Anyway, Eden and Savannah, who are 5 and 6 months, come and stay more often than the older ones. And the other day, they were staying, and Savannah was crying through the night, and I was going, oh, no sleep. And then she finally settled, and I was just about to go to sleep when I felt this nudging at my back. And it was Eden getting into bed, this 5-year-old. And I goes, oh, Eden, what are you doing? And she said, Granddad, I just want to be close to you. Okay, stay. But in that moment, and Eden is the person that God speaks to most often to me, in that moment, God said, and is this your heart? That's our primary purpose. If you hear nothing else, that's the thing that matters most to God. He just longs to be with you and for you to be with him. The second one we've already had mentioned, actually, this morning in our prayers. Thank you, Carl, for those. That's great. Go into all the world and make disciples. You, as a church, me as an individual and as a member of Ashby Baptist Church, we are called, we have the purpose, clear and absolute, in Matthew's gospel, to go into all the world and make disciples. Be with him, make disciples. Is that the focus of our resurrected church life? When we're creating a vision, when you're creating a vision to share in your search for a new minister, is at the heart of your vision, we want people to be with Jesus and we want people to be making disciples. Because that's God's purpose, very clear. Those two things, I think, are really obvious in Scripture. The third one is a little less obvious, but it's there. You look through Scripture and you see that individual people have purposes given to them that are individual to them. So Noah obviously was called to build the ark. Nobody else was. It was his job. Samuel was called to lead Israel at that particular time. Nobody else at that time. It was him as a little boy, called from a child. God's purpose was placed on his heart as a child, and he fulfilled that purpose. John the Baptist, and so on. It's all there through Scripture. There is no one in this room today who God isn't calling for a specific purpose? That's what I learned from Scripture. That's what I know from my experience. So what is it? It will come to you in all sorts of ways. I'll just share my story a little bit. Some of you will know it. 37 years with Youth of Christ is a long time. When I wasn't with Youth of Christ, I was a solicitor. And I was earning a lot of money, which was really nice, and going on exotic holidays and all the rest of it. And I was volunteering with the local Youth of Christ Centre helping them out. And we offered to support them get a new worker, the first worker, in fact, full-time paid worker. So we advertised, and I helped draft the advert. Nobody applied. And we advertised again, nobody applied. And we had a committee meeting, and people said to me, Nigel, it's obviously not the right time. Or, somebody said, it's because it's you who should be doing this job. And I thought, no, I don't think so. It's the salary is rubbish. I've got to raise it myself. And actually, I quite enjoy my life. You're going to have to do something amazing to convince me otherwise. So he did. God did do something amazing. I was going down to London on a train, and I was walking down this train, and as I walked along, the chairman of British Coal, who I was working for at the time, was in a seat, and I passed him by, and he suddenly stopped me. He goes, Nigel, come sit down. Don't say no to the chairman of British Coal. So I went and sat with him, and I didn't know him terribly well, met him a couple of times, and he said to me, Nigel, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I want you to stop working for British Coal because I think you should be working for God. And I'm thinking, you are the most foul-mouthed, nasty person I've ever met, and God is talking to you. It was amazing, and I thought, that's got to be God, but I need a bit more confirmation. I went back, talked to my wife about it. She said, yeah, no, but we've got a mortgage, we've got this house. What are we going to do about it? We need another sign. And we had phone calls, people ringing up, all sorts of things. So we decided, this is it. Went into the office, I went to my boss and said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to resign. Here's my letter. I'm going to do youth work with Youth for Christ. He took my letter and he tore it up in front of my face. And I went and sat down and I thought, what's going on? What is going on? And then I got a phone call 5 minutes later from my HR office, went upstairs, and I said, Nigel, really bad news, we're going to make you redundant. And here's your redundancy package, which strangely enough was equivalent to my mortgage left to pay. And here's a bonus, which strangely enough was a year's salary on the Youth for Christ pay scale. So I really didn't have any choice, did I? And so a lot of people have offered me different jobs over the years, and people have said, oh, you've not got very far in Youth Christ, have you? You're just still doing the youth work stuff that you do. But actually, I have no choice. This is my purpose. This is my purpose. And I can do it because I serve a resurrected Jesus, and I have heard from him what it is I am to do. What is yours? Are you hearing from God? Are you turning a deaf ear to God? That's a really hard thing to say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. Are you refusing to listen? Or are you frightened? Or are you lacking in confidence? From time to time, I will take a risk and go to people and say, I really think God is calling you to do this. And more often than not, they will say to me, God can't possibly use me because I'm a failure, I'm useless, I'm broken. Heard those phrases before? I am useless. How could God use me? I'm a failure. How can God use me? I'm broken. How can God use me? Actually, all of those don't hold any water at all with God. Think about Peter from our story. What a failure. What an absolute failure. denying Jesus the way he did. And yet, Jesus had no qualms on that beach by going to him and saying, "Feed my lambs." Yeah, you've let me down. Yeah, you've messed up massively. But I still want you to lead the church. Being a failure. And no one is useless. I've probably told you before about my daughter Joanna, who has special needs, special learning difficulties, failed every GCSE on the planet, scraped through her living for work qualification at FE College, was told she would never have a job. We went from job to job, interview with her, and she's in a care home for an interview, and the woman in charge is saying, "Don't want her." And Joanna just wanders off and starts chatting to the old people and making them cups of tea. And then we hear laughter from the home as Joanna is telling them jokes. And this woman in charge suddenly looks at Joanna and says, "I'm sorry, but actually, I don't think I can afford to be without what your daughter has to give." She was not useless. And she found her purpose. And broken, I imagine this morning some of you feel broken. I don't know what this pandemic has done for you. I've lost my mother and my father-in-law. I have lost friends in Youth of Christ. My wife has only recently had a hysterectomy because she was discovered to have had cancer. I've come through cancer. And at the end of it, I felt really broken. And there was a moment when I really said to God, "Can't do anymore. I'm not just broken, I'm shattered. Can't even be mended." And my grandson came round, the older one, who's 16, to our house, and we were clearing out the attic of all the toys that we have in our attic. And I'm saying, "Get rid of that Dalek, get rid of that action figure, you know, all the rest of it." And he's saying, yeah, they can go, they can go. And then I find these really badly broken toys, cars with no wheels. And I said, "Oh, these are definitely going." And he stops me and he said, "No, Grand, no. You can't get rid of those. I want those because I love the broken ones best of all." And in that moment, God spoke a word that transformed my understanding of how he sees me and how he can work through me. You're not a failure, and if you failed, God doesn't care. You're not useless because God has made you to be of use to him. And if you're broken, God will use you, because actually we worship a broken God. The Lord who was on the cross was a broken God. The Lord that we see in Isaiah and the suffering servant was a broken God, who is now a resurrected Lord. What is your purpose? Listen, discover it, grasp it, and live the resurrection life with purpose. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to think about that question. And we'll just have a little time of silence. Ask you to really just begin the process of wrestling with God about what your purpose is for the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead. And you might not get the answer in the next few minutes, but I am going to ask you to respond if you feel able to. So let's be quiet and pray together. To imagine you are on that beach with Peter, with Thomas, with all the others who got it wrong, who ran away, who denied Jesus, who acted as if nothing had ever happened. And we're amongst them. And Jesus is calling each one of us to him for a walk along the beach, for a chat. And he's just got one question for each of us. And that question is, will you do what I'm calling you to do? Will you do what I'm calling you to do? If you will, and with all our eyes closed and with my eyes closed as well, I'd just like you to raise your hand. Like when Isaiah was asked, you know, here I am, send me, use me. Will you do what I'm calling you to do? And if you will, raise your hand. Father God, only you can see these hands. But I pray now for each of us that the call you put upon our heart, you will empower us to fulfill through your Holy Spirit, through your wisdom and guidance, through the support of this fellowship, through the closeness of your very presence in our lives. Help us become who you want us to be, resurrected people serving a resurrected Lord.